WNST Towson Baltimore and Baltimore Positive. For those of you viewing out on YouTube or on our WNSTV channel, you'll see that I have the sun shining over Camden Yards. All of our Maryland Crab Cake tours brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We're going to let ourselves play this week. Going to be a Black Swan on Thursday. There's a rumor Jameel McClain might be stopping by. There's a rumor Wes Moore might be stopping by. And then on Friday, we're going to be at the at an old homestead of ours, Timonium Racetrack at Nick's Grandstand Grill. We'll be there from 2 until 5 to celebrate the Memorial Day weekend. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. Our friends at Goodwill. I'm wearing my Goodwill shirt, as well as our newest sponsor, Window Nation. We're telling you about 2-for-1 windows, getting our windows done here. We'll have some pictures and some fun with all that. Luke Jones let himself play a little bit over the weekend. I want to hear all of your Adley Rutschman. There's a rumor they brought this kid up finally, right? And did it at 8 o'clock in the morning on Preakness Day and marched him out there 30 seconds after the Preakness race went off for the 147th time. I didn't get to go there Saturday night, but I did have a lovely Berea quesadilla at Nacho Mama's in Towson. We did watch Adley Rutschman. We did watch the race. So it was a sports weekend in Baltimore. It really was.
It was fun. To get back to the timing of it all, I mean, you and I have talked about this for several weeks now. When was it going to happen? We knew that even if at this point in time, I'm very cynical and very much doubting that he would have been on the opening day roster. At the same time, he had a tricep strain in his throwing arm. It's something you wanted to be careful with after the weird lockout and everything. And they wanted him to catch 3 days in a row. Mike Elias talked about this Sunday. They didn't really want him to debut on the road. So they were trying to figure out the absolute sweet spot of when to do it. Look, I see both sides of this perspective. I think you look at this, could you have announced it Friday and done it Sunday? Could you have announced it Thursday and maybe made it better on Saturday? Look, I think whenever you're making an announcement, that's not going to come days and days in advance. I mean, right? I mean, you're hoping maybe a day, maybe if you're lucky too, if you have an off day, something like that. I remember Andy announced Matt Wieters on that Wednesday night, I believe it was, on Masson. He debuted Friday night, so they had roughly 48 hours. But I think anytime you have a short-term announcement, you're really counting on walk-up sales for what, usually 20-somethings, maybe 30-somethings who don't have children, right? Because you're so inundated with your kids' activities, they're playing sports, they have sleepovers, different things that they're involved in.
Even you have a kid in your life now that involves this, right?
Literally. Sure. And full disclosure, I wasn't there on Saturday because I had a family commitment that I couldn't break. But I think with that, the demographic that I'm speaking about is largely the group that's going to be partying on the infield on Saturday for Preakness. So from that standpoint, did they miss an opportunity to maximize attendance for his debut? Yeah, I'm not going to lie with that. Is it something that I'm completely outraged over, or do I feel this anger that they, quote, disrespected the Preakness? I think anyone who's going to go to Preakness went to Preakness. So I don't think it was a case of they did anything to harm the Preakness in that way. But you saw the attendance. It wasn't anything over the top. It was 17,573.
You better hope you're drawing 17,000 on a Saturday night in May to begin with when it's 85.
We've talked about that. And Adley Rutschman's not fixing that by himself, right? He's not just arriving and everything's fine and they're a contender and all that. But a big part of this is Adley Rutschman does arrive. They had youth baseball and softball day on Sunday. Kids did a little parade before the game. They had 23,000. It didn't look great on TV, but the upper deck where there was shade and the lower level underneath, it actually was a decent crowd. It just didn't come across that way because everyone was trying to get out of the sun. So,
well, I come at this from a business perspective, and it's not even the fact that I wanted to go or my wife wanted to go or would have been night. You wanted to go. People wanted to go. They gave us no chance to go. And right. That's really at the heart of it. They don't know what they're doing. This is their one opening day they get to have to make money. Sure. We all want to come down and give money. Great. But to give me a commemorative ticket if I love such a thing. If I am someone that was there the night Jim Fuller debuted, and the night that Eddie Murray debuted, and the night that Curt Schilling debuted, and the night that Billy Ripken debuted, and the night that Jim Traber debuted. Like, they would bring guys up all the time when they stunk in the 80s, and it was, oh, Cal's brother's coming up. Let's go see him play shortstop. And he hit like 529 the first 3 weeks or something, you know? I would just say from a long-term, they own the team for 30 years and they don't run it anything like anything it was before, where it's this community thing. We have to look out for our fans and we're just running a baseball team. This is baseball. We just call them up when we call them up and we make decisions. They made that decision at the beginning of the week, man. They knew what they were going to do. They gave the kid off on Friday. They paraded around on the internet on Friday as to where's Waldo, where's Adley. The clowns over at 105.7 were losing their mind that he wasn't there and there's pressure and he should be here, like all of that nonsense. How about you just, if he's going to catch on three games in a row and you're going to give him off Friday and you're going to give him a travel day Saturday, just announce it Thursday at 5 o'clock and at least you get 48 hours and maybe you get 22,000 instead of 70. It was never going to sell out. It was never going to be packed.
Yeah.
That's where the business is for them. But I would have gone. And you would have gone, and people I know would have gone if you gave me a chance to go. They gave me no chance to go. Therefore, it's kind of like Chad Steele taking my seats away in the upper deck. You give me no chance to go, I don't sit in the seat. So, I could not do the Preakness and do that. It was 100 degrees. Right. I guess I could have if it mattered and I was 21 again and it was going to be an event. I knew it wasn't really an event. And to me, and I heard from all factions over the weekend, right? It's the bleeding heart. The Orioles can never do any wrong, even though they've been in last place for five. Like, the people that defend the indefensible, this was a decision. It's a business decision. Sure, it's a baseball decision. It's about bringing his family in, getting his parents here, like doing all of that and staging this. He's going to sit in the office and act all dumb and there's a camera on and we're going to put that on the internet tomorrow. That's newfangled, right? We didn't have that in the old days. And I'm not playing get off my lawn about it. That's all warm and fuzzy and it's great. But how about you give the fans who've waited 5 years for this kid to get here, watched all the losing to get the number one pick. You get the number one pick. The kid turns out to be like the real McCoy. He, you know, he hits the cover off the ball at minor. It's the only thing we've been following. I mean, people have been running down to Bowie, running up to Aberdeen, chasing him around. The least you can do, if you care about your fans, give your fans a chance to go and support the kid and give the kid a night that isn't 17,000 on a Saturday night. I guess it doesn't matter because what's the difference between 17 or 23 or 28 or 32? It's still like, it should be alarming to anyone that they could bring this kid up after 5 years of hype on a Saturday night, 17,000 people. That's all that cared to show up. And they didn't care, and they didn't – well, we don't really need an event. We're the Orioles. Well, last I checked, you're not going to have an event the rest of – last I checked, your big event's going to be when you leapfrog Boston in the fourth place for a day and a half, and everybody goes all ta-ta because you're playing 420 ball. That's the truth. That's where they are. Now, whether this kid bakes and Rodriguez comes up and they win 100 games 2 years from now, I don't know. But they had a chance to do something that would have been memorable for people, and they took it away. And there's only one debut for him. And that, to me, they can't be taking away nights I want to go to the ballpark. They need to be creating nights I want to go to the ballpark. They had a night I wanted to go to the ballpark. They didn't give me a chance to go to the ballpark. Simply.
And that's fair, although 3 years, not five. Let's be factual. If we're going to bash them, let's be factual. It's 3 years.
But five years are bad.
Well, but you're saying 5 years for Adley Rutschman. He was drafted 3 years ago. Let's be accurate.
Fair enough, but you're waiting for the day you get to go. And
I understand. You can't announce it. You can't announce it.
McDonald pitch, you know?
But you just said it, though. I agree. Give it an extra night. They would have gotten a few more thousand people there. Is that really moving the meter in the big picture? No, it's not. What's going to move the meter is them winning and them getting more Adley Rutschman thing, and not just those guys arriving, but they're good and they're getting better on the field. And that's really what's going to matter. And I hear what you're saying. I don't disagree. My my opinion on this falls somewhere in the middle. Yeah, I think they could have done a better job in terms of announcing it in advance. I do think the video where he's sitting in Buck Britton's office was completely authentic. I think maybe Mike Elias and you know, the powers that be knew. I don't think Adley Rutschman knew 5 days ahead of time he was going to be there Saturday night. I think that was authentic. But you're right in the elements of, there were plenty of people who would have liked to have been there on Saturday night, and they already made a commitment to go to the Preakness, or if they had other things going, they announced
it's
it at 8.
It's Saturday night in spring. If you want to give people a chance to go, do it on Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday when they might not have a plan. But I they don't care about these things. They don't. I mean, obviously they didn't.
So you're saying you would have had him debut on a Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday?
I would have had a debut on a night where
I disagree with that.
I give people 48 hours. That's
okay.
All
okay. Right. Fair enough. Fair enough. I'll go along with that. And you know, I'm fine with that. I mean, look, I mean, there's this whole thing that we're waiting for him to debut. There's criticism when he's not coming up. You know, they were criticized because he didn't come up for the Yankee series. They're criticized he didn't come up Friday night. You know, they're not going to please everyone because not everyone's going to be able to go no matter what day you
go. I don't care when they bring him up.
Sure,
they should bring him up when we have a chance to go see him, because it is the thing that they've circused. It is the thing that they have to offer. And now your point is, like, you could see him Sunday. You could see him next week. You could see him the week after next. And you can.
Right.
I guess a lot of people like me will give it the Shohei Ohtani treatment. You know, we'll go see him play at some point, right? It's going to be Saturday night.
Well, and the thing is, and the one thing I'll disagree with slightly, although I'm not going to say everyone is Adley Rutschman, but Grayson Rodriguez is getting close at this point. Mike Elias was asked about him Sunday morning in the dugout. I was there early before the series finale against the Rays. And, you know, I mean, Rodriguez has pitched very well his last few starts. Elias went as far to say, he's been good statistically the whole, you know, 2022 season, but really the last few starts, you know, they acknowledge he was a little out of whack in spring training. It was such a weird camp, you know, with minor league camp being in there before major league camp. And, you know, you have this expedited spring and everything. So, you know, his delivery was a little off, but they said he's looked a lot more like the guy he was last year. The numbers have been excellent. We saw Spencer Watkins get hit with a line drive on the forearm. You know, they had the same day that they're pitching. You do wonder, is it possible Grayson Rodriguez debuts on the road because, frankly, they need pitching because they've had these extra inning games and guys knocked out early and things of that nature. My point is, he's going to be getting close. And if you want to talk about someone that you can make an event for, because it's every 5 days or every 6 days talking about a starting pitcher, Grayson Rodriguez could have that same kind of cachet. And let's be fair to him. He was a first round pick the year before Adley Rutschman, not 1-1, of course. So you do have that opportunity. And I'm with you. Believe me, I'm hearing what you're saying about trying to make it as much of an event as you can. I do think it was tough with trying to balance. I do think there was a little more baseball consideration here than it would have been normally, you know, even if they were just milking his service time a little bit and, you know, came up with some reason he was going to start the year in AAA, but he did have the triceps issue. So, but I hear you. I would have liked to have seen them give him, you know, how about at least 24 hours, you know, even if we're not going to say 48, why didn't, at the very least, even if you're insisting that it has to be Saturday, why not announce it moments after Rougned Odor hits the walk-off home run Friday night? That would have given you, you know, especially some 20-somethings who are out at the bar on a Friday night and fed or something like that, and they see that Adley's being called up the next day and they didn't have plans to go to Preakness. Hey, they would have gone to the ballpark maybe. You know, maybe that would have made a difference. But I hear you. And
I don't have a problem even with them competing with the Preakness. Like, if they're going to say Saturday, 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 Thursday morning, they knew that. They knew what they were doing with him. They could have given the fans a chance.
Yeah.
I
hear you.
But look, he hit a triple. He hit the ball again. He caught a lot of it. He scored the winning run. You know, so he's involved in this. And mm-hmm. Let's talk about him a little bit.
Sure.
Let's talk about what impact to really expect. Because wins and losses, they're not even playing for wins and losses now. They're playing for some level of stability of having 9 major league players in their starting lineup on any given night. Like, they haven't been there in a long time. They now have taken a spot in their lineup 6 out of every 7 days or 9 out of every 10 days, and they've put a premier baseball player into that position. You know, that's 11% of the lineup, whatever the numbers would be.
Yeah.
this is the direction they need to go in, where the Mountcastles and the Mullins and the Mancinis look like real Major League Baseball players and are real Major League Baseball players and have to hit like Major League Baseball players, that this is where you start to judge them and say, well, since Rutschman and Rodriguez came up, they're playing 480 ball instead of 320 ball, and they start to win, you know, three games a week instead of two. I'm trying to big picture this and say, if this is really the beginning of something, I want to see something that doesn't look like 109 losses at the end of the year.
Right, right. And I hear that. And that is what you want. And I think, you know, even before Rutschman's debut, and I want to be very clear about this, I'm not trying to say that they're there or that this has been some magical breakthrough or anything like that. But as someone who is watching on a nightly basis, from an eyeball test standpoint, it has looked better this year. Now, 17-25 through their first 42 games, you know, they're on a pace to avoid 100 losses. Are they on a pace to, you know, to be in the conversation to be, you know, a 70 wins, 74 wins, something like that? You know, I don't think they're there yet. Mathematically, they're certainly not there yet, but it has looked better on a night by night basis. Sunday was a great example of this, Nestor. I mentioned Spencer Watkins gets knocked out. Third batter of the game, a couple balls hit hard, wasn't looking good. He struggled. He's 29-year-old journeyman. We know what he is. He's a placeholder who's pitching in their rotation right now because John Means had Tommy John surgery a few weeks ago and is
and
gone
the drop
for the year.
Off between a top 20 major league arm and a guy who probably shouldn't be in the big leagues.
Yeah, I mean that's what it is. But my point is, Joey Crable comes in, gives up the 3-run homer. They're down 4-0 before they've even come to the plate. I even joked in jest to someone else I was sitting next to in the press box and said, oh, wow, Adley Rutschman might get the pitch the ninth inning the way this game's going to probably go. I mean, this was the kind of game the last few years they've lost 14-3 almost on the regular. You know, starting pitcher gets knocked out early, whether it's an injury or he's just getting knocked around. And instead, they pieced together a really nice effort by their bullpen, and you know, they stayed in the game. Austin Hayes gets the hit in the bottom of the ninth. The heavens open up, get a rain delay, and then they win in extra innings. But you know, to bring it back to the question that you pose as far as the Rutschman effect, of course, you know, you're looking at a guy who's been either number one or number two as far as top prospects in all of baseball over the last 2 years. So you're hoping for that impact. I think we've already seen it as far as his energy. He's got an aura to him in terms of his leadership. And this goes back to his days at Oregon State, goes back to his days in high school, how he's always been considered a natural leader in that way. And you kind of saw it with Ciano
Doesn't
Perez.
Doesn't take long at the end of the inning, going out to the
field.
He does things I've never seen done.
Right,
like,
right.
Literally, right?
And a lot of times you look at that and you wonder if it's false hustle a little bit, but his teammates insist it's not. They insist it's genuine. His coaches insist it's genuine. And he just has that kind of presence to him. Now, ultimately, he has to play at a high enough level where that carries more clout. We talked about this for years with Ray Lewis. As much as Ray had the theatrics for the cameras and the speeches for NFL films, that carried more clout. Why? Because he's one of the best defensive players in NFL history. Does Adley Rutschman need to be a Hall of Famer? No, but he needs to be the kind of player that is moving the needle for you big time, and you're hoping is going to be your best player, or you know, if you have a couple other special talents, one of your two or three best players for the next 5 to 10 years, right? You know, however it plays out. So
he's got some sort of Rex Hudler energy about him, right?
I mean, Rex Hudler is certainly more of a character. Adley's much more, based on my very limited interactions with him, he's very careful in a way that you kind of think of Cal Ripken. You know, and you know, if you had a chance to hear his press conference on Saturday afternoon or heard him speak after Saturday's loss, you know, he's very careful in what he says. I don't know if he's going to necessarily fill up a notebook for a reporter writing a story, but I think other people talking about him will. And I think that's going to be the key for this. And it's not going to mean that they're going to start just winning games overnight. I don't think this has that dramatic of an impact, but I think it's for me, it's a signal of credibility. It's a signal of, all right, they've been, I don't even want to say lying in the weeds because it's been worse than that for 4 or 5 years, but it feels as though this is kind of a sea change in terms of expectations now shifting, and
Well, this is supposed to be the prize when you get your ass kicked and you lose 112 games. You're supposed to get the best player, draft the best player, and then 3 years later have the best player in uniform being the best player, right? Sure. So this should be a little bit of that Machado thing. But Machado came in and there were a bunch of other players around. There were a bunch of other stars or a bunch of decent players. There was a manager who had pelts on the wall to some degree. There was all of that. I don't know what this is because they screwed up his day. They couldn't even get the fans right on the debut Saturday. So when I hear we're doing things differently and we're thinking about things, I don't know. It feels to me like the baseball people run the thing. Obviously, Elias and whatever they want. It had nothing to do with marketing or TJ Brightman or selling tickets or getting people downtown or any of those things that like a citizen like me thinks about or a guy who's been doing this for 50 years really thinking about debuts and the time Ben McDonald came through the bullpen, you know, and I was stuck in Ocean City and I'm like, damn, I missed it. You know, they didn't tell me about it. But that was 35 years ago, right? This is the modern play for them. And the modern play should be every day engaging actual Oriole fans who are there and somewhere along the line, finding some 23-year-old that's going to latch on to Adley Rutschman and want to come out to the ballpark and drink beer the next 10 years and watch him play. People have to want to watch him play. I mean, and the notion that I had on Saturday, for better or worse, that there really is something about him. And now that I sat at Nacho Mama's on Saturday night and watched him strike out, and I love fans, right? Like, the game's getting ready to start. The race is over. I'm at the bar, and the bar back at Nacho Mama says, "We're going to see what this kid's made of."
It's great, right? I mean, it's great.
And I'm like, well, hey, there's a 22-year-old kid in Towson that's wearing an Oriole white panel Rick Dempsey Storm Davis hat and is interested in the Orioles on Saturday night at 7:15. Probably been a lot of Saturday nights where you haven't been interested, and I'm interested. We're all more interested because he's here, and this should be the ramp up to Rodriguez and Hall and whatever the rest of this is going to be, that they're going to be competitive because they need to be promising that, and they are promising that, but they made so many broken promises that I'll believe that Adley Rutschman's Adley Rutschman when I see him, but they've come a long way with this for being bad, drafting the kid, having the kid be good enough, unlike the kid they traded Machado for, right? The Dodgers kid that we stood give me his name.
Yusniel Diaz.
Yusniel Diaz. Yusniel Diaz.
Who's hurt again?
Reminds me of Manny Alexander. Reminds me of, you know, not Rocky Coppinger. You know what I mean? It's just, it's a name of a guy who was supposed to be something and never was. Weirs was something. Rutschman needs to be better than that. And that's, the bar's high. And I think for a lot of fans, the cupboard's a little empty to say it's been 5 years. If I'm going to come down there, give me something. And I think Rutschman delivers that, you know, much more than a pitcher because he plays every day too.
Yeah. And I mean, it's going to be fascinating to see how this plays out. And, you know, just to finish the point about the timing of when he was called up, you know, I think the unfortunate thing is if you followed their social, they posted a lot of really neat stuff in the hours leading up to that. I would have just liked to have seen them have the opportunity. The people who are responsible for that, and I'm guessing they didn't make the call specifically, whoever's putting together those videos and putting it out on social, they didn't decide when the announcement was going to be made, but they had that stuff ready. How great would that have been to see that run for a couple days leading into the debut? There you could have gotten a little more traction. However, acknowledging that, acknowledging concerns about the business side of things moving forward still, and I share those concerns with you, there is, you know, this sense of, okay, he's here. What's it going to look like? You know, is he going to live up to expectations? You know, we talked about Matt Wieters 13 years ago, Joe Mauer with power, the next Johnny Bench. I think Adam Jones called him Jesus in cleats at one point, I think in jest, because that's just Adam Jones and his personality. But, you know, Matt Wieters was a good player. You know, let's not make it out that he was a bust. He wasn't a bust by any stretch of the imagination, but was he the borderline Hall of Fame kind of talent, anything like that? No. And in that way, the expectations he fell short of. Is Adley Rutschman going to be a Hall of Famer? I have no idea. I think it's unfair to saddle any rookie with those kind of expectations.
He did a triple.
But he did. And by the way, Matt Wieters triple, Manny Machado triple, first major league hit. So maybe that's good, at least in terms of he'll at least be of that caliber, which would certainly be helpful. But for Michael Elias and this current regime, keep in mind that 2018 season that gave them 1-1 in 2019. That was the previous regime. It was a season where they went into it hoping to contend one last time, and clearly that didn't work. But for Elias and company, I think it's, even though he dismissed it, he downplayed its significance about Adley being his first draft pick to make the majors, because he talked about other guys they've acquired, Kyle Bradish, for example, who, has been up and down, but has certainly shown some promise at the very least, acquired him in a trade. But when you're talking about your first draft pick, first overall pick they've made since Ben McDonald in 89, as you mentioned, only two times they picked first overall in the draft until this coming year. But, I think it's just, for me, it just signals a time of, okay, and we've talked so much about the losing and so much about these placeholders and waiver claims and guys being DFA'd and outrighted and brought up and sent down, and so much of this where it felt like the losing didn't have any purpose in the sense of, other than, well, you're moving your way toward another high draft.
You
got to
get
right?
through 9 innings. That's how it's felt for 3 years.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, just struggling so many nights just to be functional. I mean, that's why I said Sunday's game was so heartening, that they figured out a way to cobble together an effort that they could win a ball game when their starter got knocked out without retiring a batter. I mean, that in and of itself was kind of encouraging on a one-day basis. But, you're at a point now where, you're still going to lose games. You're still going to have rough patches. Yeah, they're not there yet. But you feel more and more, and you look at it on a nightly basis. I mean, on Sunday, we're talking about Adley Rutschman playing in the major leagues and getting a hit, scores the winning run in a walk-off win, but Grayson Rodriguez shoved at Triple-A. Kyle Stowers, an outfielder who I think we could see at some point here in the not-too-distant future, hit 3 home runs for the Tides. You look at Double-A, and you have Jordan Westberg, and Gunnar Henderson's 20 years old, and he's raking there. You look at Single-A, you've got prospects there. I mean, the pipeline is starting to come together. Now, that doesn't mean all these guys are going to come to the majors and be great. We know how this works. Prospects are prospects. They're not sure things. Even the can't miss guys will miss on occasion, but they are getting to that point. And that's why, Mike Elias said Sunday morning, he he's been someone, to his credit, you can talk as much as you want about the business side and other missteps and ownership and all these different things that you and I have argued about and agreed upon or disagreed upon for years now. But Elias has been someone who's never lied in terms of saying, this is going to be difficult. When he arrived, he said that this wasn't going to be a quick process and that there's going to be a lot of losing and there wasn't a fast forward button and all of that. And he's been, he's been as someone who's not filling up a notebook with really interesting, over the top, compelling anecdotes and colorful quotes, he's been honest in the sense of, this is going to take a while. And for him to say on Sunday that he said, I really do feel blue skies are ahead of us. And he went through the things that they've been able to do. And, the one thing that he mentioned that is ultimately an ownership thing and where I still have my doubts and questions and concerns, he mentioned payroll flexibility moving forward. We'll see. The proof will be in the pudding with that. We know that. But in terms of all the other boxes they've needed to check, farm system, developing an international presence, having your analytics come into the 21st century rather than being behind in that regard, their player development becoming more innovative with technology and using sports science and all those different cameras and all the different things that every team does now. They're up to date in that way. And, they have a pipeline of talent that's on the way and guys that are at the major league level now that are interesting. It's still incomplete at the major league level, but more and more guys. I mean, on Saturday, you bring Adley Rutschman up, Ryan Mountcastle comes off the IL, and you look at that lineup. It's the most complete looking lineup they've had on paper in quite some time. Doesn't mean it's a playoff lineup just yet, but it's looking better. It's feeling better. It's not showing up in wins and losses just yet to a dramatic degree, but from an eyeball test on a night-to-night basis, it has felt a little bit different. And it's been interesting. Austin Hayes was asked about this after Sunday's game. He gets the big pinch hit 2-run single to tie it. And we kind of asked him, what is it about this team that's been a little bit different, you know, in terms of, you know, you've seen them just be more competitive on a nightly basis. And, you know, he kind of just paused and he reflected for a second and he said, you know, first of all, he credited the pitching because that's really been what's carried them. I mean, their offense, even though, you know, you look at some of the peripheral numbers and you have reason for hope, their offense hasn't lived up to what you thought it might be, but offense is down across baseball. But he talked about the pitching and he kind of just said, and he used the Rays as a perfect example. They had lost 15 straight to Tampa Bay going into Friday night. And he said, us young guys have been around here for a while. We've lost a lot of games to those guys, but you know, we're getting more and more time. We're more experienced now, and we're tired of losing to those guys. And we're putting together better at bats, and our pitching's given us more of a chance. And you know, we're just, you know, you just got the sense that there's more of a confidence that some of these younger guys have. And again, I don't want to make too much of it because they're, you know, they enter Monday 8 games below .500. They still have a long way to go. But when you add Adley Rutschman and you have some of the guys that they have already at the major league level, and Grayson Rodriguez is on the way, and Kyle Stowers could be on the way, and DL Hall will be here later on this season, and you have interesting bullpen arms that they've been able to find and add, and some of them develop. So, you know, that it comes together at some point. It doesn't mean it's overnight. It doesn't mean that they're going to be a 90-win team next year, but it finally feels like there's some purpose to what they're doing. And even with the losing that we're still seeing, it feels like it's more purposeful because it's guys that you think are going to be here for the next several years that are factoring into that, either having success or learning on the job. You know, losing is part of this thing in terms of learning how to win, right? So, you know, with Adley Rutschman, I think it's a signal of a sea change that, all right, those worst days are behind us. It's time to start building something. And, you know, hopefully he's the centerpiece like they've envisioned him being for the last 3 years.
I wore my Wild Bill Hagee old jersey.
Nice.
Nacho Mamba's. You know, this is my 34. And I'm thinking about, you know, if I could find my pie, I'd love to have an odor. O-D-O-R. I'd love an odor shirt. It would go with my pie shirt.
One quick thing on him. I don't want to go too long on this.
Just don't get
amazed.
Yeah.
I'm amazed at this guy's presence in the sense that all of these young guys say how much they love him. He's not that good. Like statistically, you look at him, his career has really fallen off the last few years. Even with the Yankees last year, you heard this is a guy who's very popular in the clubhouse. And again, they're 17-25 through 42 games. I don't want to make too much of it, but he's got a presence to him that it really speaks to this team needing a couple of veteran guys that keep things loose and light. And, oh, it helps when he hits a walk-off homer on Friday night. But it's been funny to hear them talk about him and Robinson Chirinos in a way that, you know, 3-4 years from now, we're not even going to think about those guys. But you suspect those guys are instilling some lessons here and there on some good teams they've been on in the past that are helping out some of these young guys that might pay off for some of these young guys 3, 4, or 5 years down the road. I just thought that was interesting. Wanted to mention that since you threw his name out.
The odor of leadership. There
yeah,
it is.
Something like that.
He leads us around here. He's Baltimore Luke. We're doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Goodwill Industries. I got my Goodwill shirt on, as well as our friends at Window Nation. We're doing it this Thursday at Black Swan down in Harbor East. We'll be there in the afternoon. Then on Friday, we're going to be at Nick's Grandstand Grill up in Timonium. Make sure you stop by. I have copies of Purple Rain 1. We're going to re-release Purple Rain 1. I'm going to spend Monday evening with my Raven compatriots from 21 and a half years ago. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, peeling the M and the U and the S and the S and the I and the N and the A off the jersey, putting the Rutschman on. We are BaltimorePositive.com.